Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study.
Hi, it's Nancy P. checking in. Oh, sorry.
Nancy, we already started. My name is Kelly S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, January 28, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. So today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in Into Action. We're on page 75, very first paragraph there that says, when we decide who's to hear our story, through that one paragraph ending with, they will be honored by our confidence, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. So today's readers will be 12 Steps, will be Herbert F., 12 Traditions will be Barbara P., Rena L. will be reading the text, Craig F. reading page 164, and Ashley F. is our backup reader. Newcomer reader is Loretta M., and our second hour host is Eileen M. So the reference number for yesterday's meeting, Monday, January 27th, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, was 22112, 22112, and then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 22113, 22113. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now have Herbert F. read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Herbert.
Good morning. I'm Herbert F. from New Mexico, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me serve.
Well, thanks so much, Herbert. All right, now we'll have Barbara P., I can't talk, read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everybody. Barbara P., compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication, other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Barbara P., for doing that. So, guys, let's see. Here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, we are into action. We're on page 75 there at the very first paragraph. When we decide who is to hear our story through that one paragraph ending with, they will be honored by our confidence. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And let's see, Rena L., you're going to get us started. Good morning, Rena.
Good morning. This is Rena L., recovered compulsive overeater from Toledo, Ohio. Page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged on a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They'll be honored by our confidence. The part I focused on and reading it this morning was on that jumped out at me is waste no time and life and death errand. And why the insistence on we waste no time and life and death errand, how critical it is. And for me, the way I understand it is that I was utterly powerless to stop. I had no power to stop annihilating myself with food and other things, but it's certainly food. And I needed some access to power, but I was blocked, right? And for me, those blocks, and I think we all have different blocks for sure, but that I felt unreal, I felt shame, and I was hyper-focused on me. And I needed to unblock what was blocking me to have access to power. And originally I thought when I would do this inventory, when I first learned about the fourth step, I thought the goal was to become perfect. Like I would no longer make any mistakes. I'd be so perfect and I would be gifted abstinence because I would be so perfect. And I would never feel bad about anything. And turns out what was really blocking me was my lack of humility. And I thought the steps would make me a better human, maybe even better than human. And it was quite the opposite, that instead of becoming better than human, the fourth and fifth step helped me accept my own humanity, which was the humility I needed all along and still need all along. That through the inventory and especially the gift of being heard, which is what this paragraph is talking about, the honor of hearing and also of being heard, that's what made me, the humility that made me available for a relationship with power and also available to turn my will, what I want, and my life, what I do, and the outcomes over to a power greater than me. So with that, I'm curious how everyone else understands this paragraph and their experience with the fifth step. Thanks.
Well, Rena, thank you so much for getting us started. Okay, guys, so I'm now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So That means if you shared yesterday or last Friday on any of our vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Keep your shares to 3 minutes. Please give me your first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from. I'm ready.
Felicia D. from Rhode Island.
Felicia.
Julie M.
Julie M.
Tanya D.
Tanya D.
Stephanie O.
Stephanie O. Good time to share, guys. It's been a quiet week with shares, so if you've been nervous, just press star one. Get your voice out there. Get a seat. Well, let's just get started then. We'll start with Felicia, Julie, Tanya, and Stephanie. All right. Good morning, Felicia D. You're up.
Thank you so much for your service and for everyone else this morning. My name is Felicia D, and I am a compulsive overeater. And this morning, what struck out to me right away was similar to the first person's share. It was great share. Life and death kind of made me jerk my head up and then waste no time. More and more I see that, gosh, I used to hear people on here say, like, it's so not about the food. And I was in a really dark place, and I remember, like, calling a friend of mine in OA and being like, God, they say it's not about the food. It must be easy for them. They don't actually have the obsession anymore to eat. Like, it's all about the food for me. And it felt like it was all about the food when I couldn't get the food down, when I couldn't access any power to even have any time away from just a reprieve just from food. But the more that I'm blessed enough to have that, the more I see how obsessed I am with myself and how blocked I am. Even if I'm following a dietitian's food plan, even if I'm sending in my food every day, even if I'm eating what is on my food plan and not making any tweaks, that I'm still left with, once the food is down, the spiritual malady in this mess of me, and I'm all that I think about, even though I think about myself so poorly. And I definitely had two big goals of working the steps. One was to be perfect and to have nightly reviews that said day after day after day, I wasn't selfish and I wasn't dishonest and I wasn't self-seeking and I wasn't afraid and I was kind and I had been nice to everyone. I wanted to be perfect, and I wanted to be able to write that and to feel that way. And then I wanted to work really hard in the hospitalization period so that I could rest and relax when I got out of the hospitalization. Like, there was this intense desire to work, but followed by this laziness of wanting to work hard short term so I could work less long term. And, you know, I was reading last night Step 7 in the 12 and 12, and that most of us, and certainly myself, won't pursue character building as just for that purpose. And that I started out being willing to do that so that I could get relief. And it's similar, when I was reading it last night, it's similar to the relief of having like a few days where I'm not binging, right? And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. Like, I go to bed and my stomach isn't distended and I'm not uncomfortable and I'm not consumed with hatred or paranoia about how to stop eating.
That's
so that
time, Felicia.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, thank you so much. That was Felicia D from Rhode Island. All right, next up we have Julie M, followed by Tanya D. Good morning, Julie. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Julie M from New York. Thank you, moderator, for your service. I recently did a fourth step, and I generally don't have a big block of time, and God provided this time for me in order to reflect on my fourth step and write it. And it was a powerful, you know, experience again. And so then I finished, and it says here, We waste no time. So immediately when I finished, I reached out to my sponsor and I said, I'm done. And she right away had some block of time in the afternoon and I was able to do it in a day. And it's just a miracle that, you know, God really provides if I'm ready. And I was really ready and I couldn't wait to, you know, do this. And my sponsor said that she was honored, you know, to be able to be of service. And I recently also, with my sponsee, I heard her fourth step, her fifth step, and she, you know, and we carved out the time, and it's always an honor because it's always a growth spurt for me in order to listen to people and to be of service with them. And God really does give me the time, and he really knows when people are ready. You know, it's not like, you know, it is really an inspired situation that comes from higher power. And I am so grateful to be on this journey with all of you. Julie M. in upstate New York. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Julie. All right, next up we have Tanya D., followed by Stephanie O. Hey, Tanya, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Tanya D., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Thank you, moderator, and thanks to the previous shares. I also noted the life and death errand and the wasting no time. And going into it, as my first, fourth, fifth step, I sort of didn't really understand the life and death, right? I'm just reading out loud to somebody else. Like, I sort of had an apprehension, but to me, part of this step kind of shows that this is a program that we can't really analyze and explain exactly why it works, but I know how it works and that it does work. Like, I don't really understand why it's so important for me to share kind of my inventory, kind of the my part, my selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, fear, but I'm 100% on board that it is very important. And as somebody said, I think for me, the experience was of joining the human race because I had felt apart for so long. I wanted to be better than everybody else, but I felt like I was worse than everybody else. And like those two conflicting things kept pulling at me. And this step was a really important step toward like just recognizing I'm one of many. I might not have done the same things that other people did. I have my own, you know, unique set of character defects, but at the same time, I'm not unique. And whatever I've done, there's somebody out there who relates. And so to have my sponsor, you know, just listen. And she you know, we did have some conversations about some of the items, but I did like kind of feel, you know, love and acceptance. And the sense was that like these things are just not that big of a deal, you know. We did talk about some harms and the amends. It like noted some harms to make amends for later. So it's not like, oh, just forget about all this and don't do anything about it. But it just really was an experience of like, wow, I really am just one of many, which I did not, on one hand, did not love, but I also badly, badly needed. And then the other thing that jumped out is that they will be honored by our confidence. Like, it is such an honor for me to take a sponsee's fifth step, you know, and on one hand, it's a big responsibility. On the other hand, like, I am also just there to listen. I'm not there to fix them or tell them what to do. You know, if something sounds kind of off, I might ask some questions to, you know, help them like refine their part in this situation. But mostly it's just witnessing kind of, yeah, this turning over, because like it says earlier, in this chapter, like, I don't think I've fully admitted some of these things. Thank you. And so I've shared them with another human being. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya D. from Illinois. Next up, we have Stephanie O., and then we'll be taking more shares. Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. My name is Stephanie O. I'm calling from New York. Thank you, moderator, and everyone for their service for putting this meeting together every day. I was very moved by the first person share and just talking about how these steps don't elevate us to being a superhuman. Rather, it helps us to become humble in our humanness. And the first thing that I really have to remember in going, you know, I'm just starting my step four, is that, you know, I am a beloved child of God. God created me, and inside of me, he placed the divinity for me to source, you know, for me to be able to source in order to do his will. I had an experience over the weekend where I put some food into my mouth, and as soon as it happened, I caught myself, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that I didn't want to disappoint my sponsor, and I'm so grateful and for being shown this program. And so immediately my disease kicked in with, like, okay, it's not a big deal. Just take an ounce off your lunch, and like all the stuff. And I carried myself through that day. And so and not being honest about what was really going on. And all because I just put this person on this pedestal and I didn't want to disappoint them. And now I'm sitting down to do my fourth step, and I have to add, one of my fears is the fear of disappointing people. And the fact of the matter is, and something that I am just trying to really wrap my brain around, is the fact that if I am dishonest about who I am, then I am not presenting a true version of Stephanie. And if what I really want is to be loved and accepted, and I first have to remember that the only love and acceptance that I truly need and want today is from my God. And then secondly, if I'm presenting to the world somebody who doesn't exist, somebody who's dishonest, somebody who is self-seeking, somebody, or I'm sorry, the other way, who's not dishonest, who's not, right, then they're not getting to know the real me. And I need to crash and burn these default files that are in my head, that I still have to do this by myself, that I don't have to reach out for help, that I can overcome something even, and I'm not even going to say small, but as big as putting something, a handful of something in my mouth and then burying it underneath a lie. So I'm just so grateful for this meeting this morning and for my sponsor and for all of you who share so humbly each day. Thanks so much. With that, I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Stephanie O from New York. Well, let's just take a break. Let's get some announcements going here. So I know y'all probably been hearing about it. I'm so excited, but we're having the power of the big book. This is a save the date message for you guys. So a vision for you convention is back. Woo-hoo! Hadn't happened since before COVID. It's amazing, guys. It's a weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, fellowship, everything you can imagine. And it is November the 7th through the 9th, 2025. And it's the Marriott Newark International Airport Hotel, Newark, New Jersey. I mean, it is amazing. So more information will be coming soon. Online registration will be on the website. Check the website as it more unfolds. It'll be www.avisionforyou.info. So put it on your calendar, save the date. More information will be coming. So just wanted to put that out there. I can't tell you guys how wonderful. We had over 700 people last time. So you get to finally put faces to the voices. So, all right, with that being said, that's enough. We're going to go back to taking names for shares. So, again, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days on any vision meeting, meaning yesterday or last Friday, we would love to hear from you. We're on page 75, first paragraph. Who would like to share?
Nancy.
Carol B.
All I got was Carol.
Nancy.
Mary S.
From Ohio.
Nancy, Mary.
Rob H.
I got Rob H.
Jane S., New Hampshire.
Jane F.
Craig F.
Craig F. Anybody else? I got Carol, Nancy, Mary, Rob, Jane, and Craig. All right. Well, you guys think about it. In the meantime, make sure you press star one so everybody's nice and muted. Carol, I did not get the initial of your last name. And where are you calling from? You are up, girl.
Okay. This is Carol D. from Tulsa Recovery. And this part of the book has always made me cringe because as a person in recovery for like a year and a half, I listened to a lady's fifth step and I fell asleep on her. And my sponsor tells me all the time that I beat myself up enough. And I came to this program with a concept of a God that had a bat and was going to beat me up. And now I have this concept of this loving God that forgives me and gives grace. And when I've heard on the lines the last few days that one lady was pregnant and she fell asleep, and then that person thought, hey, maybe my stuff isn't so big. Because, I mean, we've all walked in places that we wish we wouldn't have walked, but it's part of our experience of growing. And my husband was going through chemo at the time, but I have beat myself up for that. I apologized to her because in this case, I really felt like she felt unheard. But I learned so much from your voices to, along with God, to give myself grace and to also maybe set some boundaries. I've heard maybe a time limit because some of them can be very long. And maybe pray about when's a good time because I was not in a place probably, well, not probably. I was not really in a place to hear it and listen. I mean, I could listen and give love, but falling to sleep for this person was something that I went back and made an amends to her, and she appreciated that. But anyway, just thank you for your voices, and I'm so grateful that I have met a God that doesn't beat me up with a bat anymore, and that I have a sponsor that also just says, hey, you beat yourself up enough, go to God with this. So thank you, Kelly, and thank you all for your service.
Well, thank you so much. That was Carol B. from Oklahoma. Next up, Nancy, and then followed by Mary. Mary, I didn't get the initial of your last name or where you're calling from.
It's S, and I'm calling from Florida.
All right, Florida. Gotcha, Nancy. You're up.
Okay. This is Nancy O. from Ohio. I'm grateful to be here and such beautiful shares. And, yeah, my sponsors encouraged me to share. And way back in 1994, I came in OA, and I never left. I never left. And way back in 1994, I was on a life and death errand, and I knew I had to give away this fourth step. So I grew up in a religion, outside issue, I won't go into that, where we did this on a regular basis. And I would lie to the clergy week after week. So at 39, I am 69 today, getting old. It's not my birthday. But anyway, so I went in with a list. I had my list. I had two long lists. It wasn't an appointment. So I did part of the list with the first clergy. And luckily, that clergy knew exactly what my mission was. I got grace, understanding. And then I felt a little better. I even went to a second clergy. Some of it was because of shame. And I finished the list. And when I walked away, I walked higher, taller. Well, this whole time, my first sponsor knew what I was doing. And then finally, I felt so good. I sat down with her and gave it all away. And what a gift and what unconditional love. I was free. For the first time, things I'd lied about as a little girl stealing. And today I do it. I did one not long ago again. And it's just a gift. And again, I walk taller. I'm proud. One day at a time, and I'm here. And I cherish and honor all of you. And again, I was reminded anything that I hold back, I'll never recover. And I heard that from two speakers we would listen to at our weekly meetings. So I came clean with the last thing that I was hiding. And it turned out it wasn't really something to hide after all. So thank you all. This has been a beautiful meeting. Nancy O. from Ohio, and I'll mute.
Thanks, Nancy. So, Mary, you're up. What is the initial of your last name, and where are you calling from?
My last initial is S, as in Sam, and I'm calling from Florida.
Okay. Well, I was so confused because I guess you said that when I was doing Nancy. I was like, wait, what's happening?
Sorry, okay. Beth. Okay.
No
Thank
worries.
You for your
no
service.
Worries.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Mary.
You know, I love this paragraph, and I honed in on what are we about to do and why we have to do it. And I reflect back onto my first couple of fifth steps, how scared I was to be bare, naked, and reveal all of my causes and conditions, which I ferreted out in my fourth step. And why do we have to do that? Because we, at this point in the program, we have gone through the other steps and we realize we're in it, we have a disease and it is life and death. You know, if we put that food in our mouth, we're killing ourselves. I've never had a fifth step where it hasn't been comforting afterwards, where I felt accepted and loved. And just as importantly, for me was, you know, identifying my part in a resentment or my fear, you know, am I future tripping? Am I past tripping? For me, the sense of higher power really hit me at the ninth step. I didn't have that aha experience in the fifth. I know a lot of people do. I did feel a sense of acceptance. And then I'm part of a whole, and then I'm human. And in a way, it reflects back to the bedevilments, because that's what we're identifying in our fourth and our fifth. For me, I wrote out my fourth. With the fifth, I went through it with like a fine-tooth comb with my sponsor to really identify those parts of my personality that were preventing me from moving forward, preventing me from being the adult in the room, preventing me from being a loving and compassionate individual. So to me, it's very eye-opening to have this fifth step, especially with a sponsor who was able to help me even streamline in my thought process to really identify my particular defects of character, which would then bleed it over into the sixth step. And I, you know, we followed the book completely. You know, I did my fifth. I reflected for an hour. I wrote down anything else that may have come up at the moment that my higher power wanted to show me. And then I reconnected with my sponsor. So for me, it was a beneficial, and it helped catapult me onto the further steps to continue my own personal growth. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you so much, Mary S. Perfect timing. That was Mary S. from Florida. Next up, we have Rob H., followed by Jane F. Hey, good morning, Rob. Where are you calling from?
Rob H., New York. On this paragraph, when we decide who is to hear our story, the first time I went through the steps, we just did it through the OA 12 and 12, and I answered all the questions. And, but this time that I went around, it was easier for me to do it out of the big book because of the defects, you know, that there's like the five defects that are in there. Because I didn't realize that a lot of the things that I was writing about could all be sort of clustered under, you know, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. And I know there's another one, self-seeking. But yeah, I was glad that I had a help from a sponsor to do it. You know, just how it's out of the book. So, because the first time when I did it, I was kind of hesitant to talk about it to the person. But then this time that I've gone through, it was way easier. So, and it was just eye-opening, you know, like all these things, like, oh, that's selfishness. Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. Okay. So, yeah, I hope everybody has a good day. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rob H. from New York. Next up, we have Jane F., followed by Craig F. Hey, good morning, Jane.
Good morning. I believe it's Kelly. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the lead share and everyone's share. My name is Jane. S is in Sam or Sparky, and I'm from New Hampshire. Currently hailing in Florida, though. Very grateful to be here. I think that what's coming to me today is that last word, confidence. Being honored by our confidence, which was so huge for me. And I just looked up confidence, and it's about truth and honesty. And my recovery has been progressing and evolving over the years. And I did a fifth step with a beautiful lady who listened to me in three parts. She was in Hawaii at the time. That was like three or four years ago. And at that point in time, I was growing, I was transforming, I was abstinent, but I don't think I was entirely abstinent. I don't even know, but I can tell you this, I was not entirely rigorously honest. And so fast forward to July 1st of last year, when I started going through the steps again with the sponsor, my current sponsor, God has brought me to a place today where it's the honesty in really, truly looking at myself and looking at my part in things. And I really had to, at first, I had to get to a point in my evolution and my recovery that I had really, truly, fully surrendered to the fact that I am a real compulsive overeater. And I accept that fact today. And only then could I really truly do a fifth step that took me to a place where I have never been before. It just heard the word catapulted. It did. It catapulted me into this place with God and this relationship that I have with my higher power now that could take me through the rest of the steps and take me to, you know, the next steps and being able to really truly clear my house out. I was just sweeping stuff under the rug, and I was doing some work, and I was doing some good. I was doing a lot of good, but I was also hiding a lot of things. And so today, I not only did that fifth step and came clean and then really, truly looked at myself, which is not easy to do, and looking at my part in things, because I want to blame everybody else, and I want to make excuses, and I want to justify, and I want to manipulate. But that's not who I am today. That's not who God has molded me into. God is molding me day by day into this beautiful, authentic woman that I didn't even know I could be, and it's just such a beautiful thing. I'm in a peace and serene place, even in the midst of some major calamity, walking through my ex-husband's stage 4 cancer in a very dysfunctional family situation. But here I sit on the phone with you all and with God and just walking in a new, beautiful way. And it's all God. And I just, I'm just grateful. So thank you for letting me share my path.
Well, thank you so much, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Next up, we have Craig F. from Oklahoma. And then I'll be taking some more shares. Hey, good morning, Brad. Good morning, Craig. Wake up.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Craig F. from Boca Raton, Oklahoma, and thank you. And thanks to everybody who has shared as well. Been some great shares this morning. This paragraph to me is talking about how to pick somebody to give my fifth step to and how to communicate with them. And you know, part of the problem for me was that I was had my life kind of compartmentalized to a great deal. You know, there was church Craig, there was, program Craig, there's relationship Craig, you know. And sometimes those worlds meet and sometimes they don't. And so, you know, I had, you know, this idea that somehow I, could create this image. And that's exactly what these steps are supposed to do, is to bring me down to that authentic self, you know, to be so that there's one Craig, you know, that I'm honest about myself. So I don't have to worry about if you know, somebody from church meets somebody from work, or somebody from work meets somebody from, you know, you get the point. But and so, you know, I'm going to pick somebody that I can be completely honest with. And, you know, it was almost like a catch-22, because until I've done this process, this ego-reducing process of seeing that all I am is just a human being, and that's all I'll ever be, and until I get down to that, you know, I still may be trying to pick somebody that, in a way, or give my fifth step to them in a way that I can maintain those images. And until I let go of that idea, until I let go of that idea of images, and just say, you know, I'm who I am. This is me. This is it. This is the Craig that, you know, has made these mistakes. This is this Craig who's, you know, done things in my disease that I'm not proud of, but they're there, you know. Until I let go of that and just be who I am, I'm not going to make any progress, and I have to begin here, and I have to start with this person. And, you know, I had to set, I picked my preacher this last time around, and my preacher buddy, and I was able to tell him things that you just don't want to stand up in church and say, if you get my drift, you know. And when you do that and you still are received in love, when you do that and you still realize that you're just another human being.
That's time,
and,
Craig.
You know, great. Then you can move forward. And I appreciate it. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Craig F. from Oklahoma. All right, guys, we do have time for quite a few more shares. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, meaning yesterday or Friday on any vision meeting, again, we're on page 75, first paragraph there. Who'd like to share?
Leanne S. from Florida.
Jen A.
Victor B. Victor B. at Buffalo.
Victor B. We got time for more. All right, well, let's go ahead and we'll have Leanne with Jen and Victor. All right, Leanne S., I think you said. Is it S as in Sam?
Hi, this is Leanne S., recovering in Florida, and this is reminding me of, for me, the importance of having an experienced sponsor who knew what she was doing to give this to. And I really didn't understand the fourth step until I was giving her my fifth step. Then all of it just seems not, it seemed nonsensical to me. I just was writing different patterns of behavior for so many people were the same patterns. I'm like, it just seemed incessantly redundant and kind of dumb and whatever. But when I gave it to her, and the importance of feedback for me was so important, I sat there with a red pen and I wrote over top of my stuff some of the feedback that she had given me. And she was a very long-time experienced person. And she was able to pick out my character defects, and I learned so much during that first intensive fifth step, and it just changed me so much. The first thing I realized is that I had no self-compassion, and she was able to point that out, and she was able to sum up my character defects, and she did it like in four words. She told me that I was like Peter Pan. I wanted my family to be like the Brady Bunch. I wanted to live in a fantasy world like in Disney World. And I was like Eeyore, the sky is falling. Like those four things, you know, Peter Pan. I never wanted to grow up and be, you know, face adult responsibilities. Disneyland, Brady Bunch, and Eeyore. And those four things stuck out in my mind. And I just so much appreciated her feedback. And I was able to make my list of character defects from that experience. And it was very revolutionizing to me to understand why in the world I went through all that writing and, you know, looking through my reactions and the way I behaved with certain relationships in my life. And it was true. I really avoided wanting to grow up, and I wanted my family to be like the Brady Bunch and live in the fantasy world and play the victim like Eeyore. The sky is falling, everything's horrible. And it was really important for me to have an experienced person, and I'm grateful that God had put her in my life. And from that point on, you know, I've done other fifth steps since then, which are much less, but it got the gist of why I had to do all that. And moving forward, I continue to practice doing those inventories that, thank you, really helped me. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Leanne S. from Florida. Next up, we have Jen A., followed by Victor B. Hey, good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much. My name is Jen A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, saved by God's grace and mercy here in Littleton, Colorado. And let me just start my timer there. ASAP is what I have written down next to this paragraph in my big book. You know, I gotta get into this, and I gotta do it now. And the question is, why? Why do we need to let somebody else listen to our baggage and our stuff? You know, this is a step where we're admitting to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of the wrong that we've done. Because my life was not filled with any type of integrous behavior. I wasn't an integrous human being at all. And so this step helps me, you know, to take all the things that I've uncovered and discovered about myself and discard them and give them over to another human being. You know, interestingly enough, in church, I grew up Catholic, and they always wanted you to go in and do confession. Woo, scary, right? You go into the little booth, you're talking to somebody behind a cloth, you can hear them, but you can't see them. Like, I don't know. I wasn't all down with that. So when you tell me that I got to come now to a non-religious program that's spiritual, and I'm going to confess everything to somebody, I thought, whoa. But you know what? I saw that it worked in somebody before me. And I was like, I'm willing to go to any lengths to do what you did so I can get what you have. So confession is definitely one of the steps to a spiritual awakening. It's a sacred process. It really is for me. It's one person revealing to another person the exact nature of their wrong. And I'm always honored by the fifth steps that I take. And what's really gotten me as we were reading this the last few days in the big book is that this is preparing me for a lifetime of doing what? Giving my deepest, darkest secrets, telling people the things that I've done, the things that I've said, the ways that I've rolled my eyes at my coworkers, the thoughts that I've had in my head, the dishonesty that I've been dealing with, and it helps me to keep things cleaned out. I needed that spiritual roto-rooter at step 5. And then in steps 1 through 7, when I'm giving away a 10-step, with my inventory, I'm continuing to give it away. And you know what happens for me as a person giving away this inventory? A shift. The most amazing shift happens, whether I get off my knees and I'm done praying 7 and 8, or when I hear it from somebody else, a shift. That the divine source of power comes in and shows the cleanliness, and the sunlight of the spirit can drop down into my heart and my soul. On page 25, it says there is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. You know what? I wasn't looking for an outcome of digging up stuff and disclosing it to somebody else. But there's so much freedom in that. Because like it's been said today, I am a child of God. And there is a divine source of love and power that flows through me today because I don't have these deep, dark secrets living within me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks so much, Jen A. from Colorado. Next up, we have Victor B., and then we'll have time for a share or two. Good morning, Victor.
Hey, good morning. Victor, compulsive overeater in Buffalo, New York. What a powerful meeting and such an important topic. You know, I think about, like, really, before I was eating myself to try to find, eating away, to try to relieve the sense of separation and isolation and the fears I had of being found out, you know, because I started these secrets in my life at a very early age, you know, as a young boy. And I remember for the first time walking in my family's house and having this self-centered fear of being found out, some of the things I was doing in the dark. But long, fast forward, this separation and the isolation and double life became more and more a natural part of my life, and I began to live my life through the fears and the lens of other people's opinions and fear of exposure. And it got so intense, you know, I just had to eat to medicate the pain of that, right? So coming to clean house and bringing these things out in the open to God and another human being and myself, it was a life or death situation. And why it is because I'll eat myself to death over these this double life. I have to clean house on the inside so I could be free in my relationships on the outside and with God, right? So, but I found out that if I'm not doing this, the best relief I could find is what I call counterfeit resurrection. It's like I'll walk around admitting the exact nature of your wrongs to everybody else, you know? And, you know, that's how I normally live, you know, walking around, putting other people down and admitting their faults and what's wrong with them and admitting that to another human being and before God, because I want to get out of myself. I want to get this pain out of me. So the best I can do is admit your wrongs, you know? That's the best I can come up with without doing it this way, without going to God first, you know? And so I found out, like, and the other thing about this fifth step is that the double life will kill me. And I have to remember that when I did step three, I brought God into the picture. And when I cleaned house and picked up a pen, I was cleaning house in the light of God first, not, you know? And then finally, when I'm doing the fifth step, I'm admitting to God. It says God first in another human being. Why is that? Because I got to remember that, I brought God into the examination room, and I'm admitting this to God myself. And if I don't do it that way, I can't see myself clearly enough to admit to you the exact nature, you know? So it's the order I used to place people knowing my secrets over God. But thank you so much. I just got to remember that I'm admitting this to God first, too. So, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Victor B. from New York. I have time for one more share. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear from you.
Barbara G.
All right, Barbara, you're up. Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Barbara G, and I'm calling from California.
All right, you're up.
So, thank you. Thank you for your service, Kelly. And I'm very grateful this morning to be able to be on the line with you. And your shares and the paragraph have made me think about what was happening the other day as I was taking someone else inventory as I was working with another compulsive reader who's still suffering. And I sat there and I listened what they had to say. And I remembered the meaningful attitude that I've often received from previous sponsors who had done the same with me, which was just being there and listening, because the only act of myself telling another person all the amount of stuff that I've done was in itself a very, very important and relieving act, because I have lived my life before this program in total isolation, in total detachment with reality, not just with myself, but with everything around me. Honesty was a concept that I couldn't grasp, as our big book says. I don't have it unless I ask for it. honesty was like the obsession at the beginning. I needed to be honest. It was like, oh my God, I need to train myself to be honest. And I didn't have any idea of where to start. And I asked my higher power to give me honesty. On every step of, on every page of my first step four, I wrote, please grant me the honesty that I don't have. And when I did my first step five, well, it was amazing. It was just the great new beginning, because I really had carried with me for 40 years secrets, some serious stuff, some others were so silly. And that's how I started to break this total wall of delusion that I had piled up for years in the obscurity of the disease. So it's very nice to today be able to be that ear that listened to someone else in order for the process to be consummated. And with this, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara G. from California. And that wraps up our meeting. Thank you to everybody who shared, everybody who showed up. Thank you to Team Tuesday for the month of January. Thank you, Rena L., Craig F., Ashley F., Herbert F., Barbara P., Loretta M., and Eileen M. We can't do this alone, guys. So let's see. So please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following our closing. The share ID for today, January 28, 2025, is 22115, 22115. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. My friend Craig F., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I sure will. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Get freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.